listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight on LA Talk Radio, Empowered Communication Radio Show. My name is Sue Wagner. I'm Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and the director of the Dr. Pat Allen Wan Institute. The call-in number for the show will be 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. I'm Dr. Pat's daughter. I'll be on the radio show the first half, and hopefully I'll have Andy Shaw join me. And tonight's show, I want to talk a little bit about duty dating. And tonight's topic, it's going to be something that can actually make dating fun again. It's called duty dating. That is dating three men at the same time without getting emotionally tangled. Dr. Allen started the duty dating, and she has a patent and trademark on duty dating. And what duty dating is, it's dating multiple people casually to practice receiving, staying open, and not over-investing. Its emphasis is, this is not sleeping with multiple people. It's collecting data, not giving goods or giving the girlfriend experience. And a funny example of women attached on date number one, here's an example, is duty dating is like emotional exercise. It keeps you, your attachment muscles flexible. Why women get attached too fast? Their attachment styles, they can be anxious, fearful, avoidant, biological wiring, overinvesting energy before a man has earned it, childhood imprinting, social conditioning that women should pick one and hope for the best. And the benefits of duty dating is that you can stop auditioning, you can break the fancy bond, you don't fall for potential, you learn your deal breakers, you build confidence, and you stay in feminine energy because you're receiving, not chasing. And here's a short example. A short humor scenario is a woman goes on one decent date and starts picking out baby names. Meanwhile, he's still calling her dude, and duty dating stops that. It helps you to stop over-focus on getting too attached to the first guy that wants to take you out. And so how to start duty dating, you set a 90-day dating window, give every man two dates unless he's a hard no, as Dr. Pat says, unless he's wearing an orange jumpsuit. Keep dates short, like coffee, walk, or simple dinner. Don't talk about exclusivity too early. And don't emotionally overgive. Don't tell him too much of your too much about yourself. Keep your cards to yourself. Don't overshare. And use a duty date, use a dating journal, meaning keeping track of all the men you're dating so that you can compare them and what you liked and not liked about men for reference. And keep your expectations low and your standards high. And what I'm going to offer now is, all right, ladies, if you're listening and thinking, okay, I want to try this duty dating, but I have no idea where to start, I've got something for you. I'm opening a limited number of complimentary 15-minute mini sessions just for the listeners. And if you want to contact me at the office, I'm happy to give you a free 15-minute Zoom call. The number is 949-723-0338, or you can send me an email at info@drpatallen.com. And just let me know you heard my offer on the internet radio show, and I'd be happy to schedule you an appointment. I also offer private sessions, and I do have an ongoing ladies groups that I offer once a week. They're an hour and a half via Zoom, and it's limited to five ladies to a group, and the cost is $20 each group, and I bill it out in 1 month segments. So every 4 weeks, it's $80. And what the ladies do, they come in and they ask questions about dating, and I help guide them on how to write their profile, how to communicate using Dr. Pat Allen's communication tools. And I teach you how to keep in your feminine energy a lot of women that see Dr. Allen or have read her book are generally in their masculine, and it's hard to shift. Everybody's masculine at work. It's when you're in a relationship, you have to decide if you want to be the masculine energy or the feminine energy. So I help the ladies stay into their feminine. So with that, hopefully we'll get some callers. Again, the call-in number is 323-203-0815. We had some great questions last week. I hope we get some callbacks this week. So for everybody out there listening, I want to give you an update about Dr. Pat. She turned 91 in September. She's doing well. She's not able to be on the radio show because of her hearing. She can read lips, but unfortunately, this is a show that's not visual, so it's only audible. So she's not able to take the questions. But she's asked me, since she started the One Institute, she wants to carry the message. And since I'm her daughter and I've been with her 30 years and I've lived a lot of the experiences that she teaches the ladies, I think I'm very qualified to help people, guide them using her tools and her communication skills and her scientifically accurate information. And for all of you who have probably read her book, Getting to I Do, one of our callers sent me a brief paragraph that I just love. I want to read it. It's on page 128. Hopefully the caller that sent it to me is listening. And it's called How Men Fall in Love and How Women Share Love. Only a masculine man falls in love. A feminine woman doesn't. She must already be in love with herself. If a woman has been well loved by her father, she will be in love with herself. Then, when a man proposes to her, she will be able to consider how and what he can add to her life. If she can do better by herself, then she will say no thank you. But if he can add to her life, she simply shares the love she has for herself with him, and he will make her life better for the sharing. So that's a very powerful sentence in Dr. Pat's book, Getting to I Do. And the book is available on Amazon. It's in print and it's also available on Audible. And Dr. Allen also has a book called The Answers, which just has quick quotes. And it has, I'm not sure if people know about Dr. Pat's pledges. If you've been to one of her seminars in LA or Orange County, she always has the audience do pledges. And this book, let me pull up one of these pledges. Here we go. Here's one for the women. I'm going to share it. And this book is from the Answers book. You can order that on Amazon as well. I promise, on my honor, never will I let the magic wand in anywhere it can get in, unless I negotiate with its owner about the long-term plans for me, his sexual and social monogamy, and his weekly continuity. And should I let the magic wand in without a contract, I will not complain about the money I will spend on shrinks and the time it takes me to detox. So help me God. This is part of Dr. Ellen's material about when you let the magic wand in, you get bonded. And sometimes you can bond to a person that you may not like or is not compatible to you. And it can take up to, I think she says, 2 to 3 years to debond. So it's every time you taste, touch, smell, see, or hear him, you get rebonded. And that goes into the principle about the 8 weeks. Sometimes when men pull away, Dr. Pat's, everybody talks about the 8 weeks. 8 weeks, the man pulls away and the women have to go through the debonding and it's torture. And then sometimes the men come back and they pull back and go back and forth. What she suggests sometimes is to write a hi-bye letter. And that talks about what you loved and liked about the guy, what the pain you had with the guy, what you don't want in any relationship, what you do want in a relationship. And then the last one is, thank you for this painful lesson so I never have to repeat it again. That's if the guy has done stuff bad and he's broken up with you, or he's ghosted you. You now see that he's not compatible. It's a way that he can reach back. It's like leaving the door open that he can reach back. So that's one good thing. And then if you did something to cause damage to the relationship or a breakdown, you can also use the same format. And then paragraph 5, you say, I want to make an apology amends for the mistake I did, which generally is disrespecting the man. And hopefully thank you for this painful lesson so I never have to do it again. It's kind of like an apology. So when the man reads it, he can decide if he wants to give you another chance or not. These are all great letters, and they work about 90% of the time. So with that, I'm giving you that information. And for everybody out there, if you want to see Dr. Pat's material, we do offer it on our website. It's on www.drpatallen.com. It's called Chemistry, Compatibility, and Communication. And it's a free streaming. It's about 45 minutes, and Dr. Pat goes over all of her tools. So it's very valuable. She's one of the leaders in relationships, so I highly value everybody listening to that. So I just see now that Andy has just joined me, my co-host. Andy, do you want to say hi to the audience?
Hi, audience. Sorry I'm late.
That's okay. I've covered it. I've gone over duty dating, and I read in the book, I was sharing that one of the listeners sent me something today. It's on page 128. If you've got the book handy, I read it.
Book?
Getting to I Do.
Oh, okay.
It's about how men fall in love and how women share love. I sent it to all my group ladies, and they just loved it, because women have to love themselves first and they share their love.
I got it right here.
Okay. What's your interpretation of that?
Give me just a minute to read it.
I'm putting you on the spot now. Again, callers, please give us the call. And if you're not able to call us directly, you can always email me your questions, and I'd be happy to answer it online. At info@drpatallen.com. Our topic that I was talking about is duty dating. Dating three men at once, but not having sex with them, just dating them. It's to get practice. And a lot of women say that's hard. But the more you practice, the more you build up your confidence, and the more you see of what you want in a man and what you don't want. So when that man, your perfect man, comes, you'll be confident, and you'll know what you want in a man and what you don't want by all the practice from all the other men you've dated.
Awesome.
Do you have any questions you want to ask me?
Regarding this topic, what?
The duty dating?
Yeah, what's so hard about it? I don't understand.
Well, I offered everybody who's listening, if they want to call the office or email the office, either you or me will give them a 15-minute complimentary session. And what the session will do, it'll help identify your current attachment pattern, and you'll get clear on your top three dating standards. And then you'll choose the three types of men you should be dating right now. And I'll also give you one personalized shift you can start today. So with duty dating, attachment style, that's where you can either be the anxious, the avoidant, or the secure. And that's kind of geared to your picker, the types of men you pick. So we'll help identify that. And then we want to list your top three morals, values, and compatibilities, because that's important when you pick a man too. Let's say if he doesn't want to get married and you want to get married, you're pretty much incompatible. So we have to list your compatibilities and your morals and values. And with that, So duty dating, it's basically dating is a skill, and duty dating is like the gym. You have to go in and build up your muscle. Have you been duty dating, Andy?
I have.
Most women do it. It's mostly geared towards women, but I think men could do it too.
You know, I've done it in the past. I did it with intention of just to date women and get to know them and see if there's a spark that maybe I missed the first time around.
Yes.
Or that, I didn't see it right off the bat. Maybe there's something else that isn't as physical, but more spiritual or personality driven. And I made some good friends that way, but now I've to date not made like a lifetime partner, obviously.
Okay.
But worthwhile. I mean, it's incredibly worthwhile. I was looking at how to require a commitment and not demand one.
Okay, tell us about that.
I think this is an important piece, which is now you've thanked him, told him you're interested, and said no until talking occurs. So that is, I mean, we get phone calls from people who don't talk, don't tell them they're interested, want them to guess.
Yes.
And have sex on the first date.
Yes.
So this, by that very standard, you are not requiring a commitment. I just think it's interesting. So, like, if I read the paragraph, a feminine woman must require, not demand,
yes,
commitment from a masculine man, because to demand is masculine, and masculine men do not respond in a positive way to a demand. So how do you require a commitment?
Yes.
By waiting until a man asks you for sex.
Yes.
Saving your negative feelings about casual sex.
Yes.
Say something like, thank you for the compliment.
Yes.
I like being seen by you as a sexually desirable.
Yes.
However, I know that I will pleasurably bond to you because I'm chemically attracted to you. I don't know if it's safe yet. So we're back to that. Now you've thanked him, told him you're interested, and said no until talking occurs. And then he asks, what would make you safe? And you say, I would like to know about your goals for us.
Yes.
Other love interests you may have, and about your ability to see me regularly. I'm willing to begin a committed, long-term relationship that hopefully could be headed for marriage. Are you? Anyways, I'm reminded of how beautiful this book is written, and I think I'm going to read it again.
Yeah, it was written back in the 90s, and it's still one I get people calling me saying they picked it up. And I get a lot of people that call me and say they've pulled it back out and they've reread it. And because when you're masculine, sometimes if you don't practice being feminine, you'll go right back to masculine a lot of times. I get a lot of women that they said, oh, I've been masculine, but I think I've let myself go. And it is true. They start operating in their masculine, thinking, logic, controlling, conquering.
Do you have a theory as to why?
I think sometimes they're in their, so a lot of the ladies are not in relationships to keep them focused on being feminine. And a lot of them are in high powered jobs where they have to go and perform, compete, control, conquer, fix. And they just get comfortable with it on having to fix. And they fix, you know, other people's as well. You know, they'll fix your friends. It's borderline of control too, where they have to make everybody else's life work around what they want so that they're in control. It's, I'm not really sure what you would call that as far as an attachment style, but I do know that sometimes when women, they control people, it's to keep them safe so that they're in charge. And it's also a protecting mechanism so that they can protect on how close somebody can come to them, how much they want to guide him on what's comfortable. But it actually works against them if they want to build a relationship. Does that make sense, Andy? Tell me what, you know, they call it, the women with, and I work with a lot of women in my ladies groups who have not had decent or good father role models, and they grow up without knowing what a healthy relationship is. So they have a hard time picking good men. They're pickers off. They usually pick avoidant men, inconsistent men, generally like their fathers. So they have a hard time picking safe, stable men. But when you tell them to go with a safe, stable man, they have no chemistry because he's not familiar. He's like taboo. So they keep repeating the pattern of going what's familiar in their childhood without, and unless they break that pattern, which is hard to break. So with that, Andy, have you ever had any examples? Remember Pat used to talk about desensitizing with the boring man because he'll be the right man for you?
Yeah.
And what of all the ladies? They always want that one. Yeah, but that man doesn't have any money. He's always stirring you up. He's always lying. He's always cheating. But I want him. Is there any way I can change him? No. Sorry, ladies. We cannot change another human being unless they're willing to change. Tell us a little bit about men and changing, Andy. How hard is that going to be?
Damn near impossible.
You know what? A lot of times women tell me they assume that men can mind read, and because we can multitask a lot. So they think, well, I told him 3 months ago, he should remember. Tell us your example of that, Andy, on how men actually think and feel and operate on multitasking and remembering.
No, we don't, not at all. I like to use the theory of where a toaster would do one thing well. You don't do one thing well at a time. And if you're telling me to do something or remember something while I'm doing that one thing, that's it. Game over. There's nothing else for me to do.
Yeah.
I either need to pay attention to you or I need to toast this toast. I don't know.
Well, what if somebody told you something 3 months ago and then wanted you to remember what she talked to you about 3 months ago? Don't you remember I told you 3 months ago, da, 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 da? What would your reply be? Because this makes women so angry.
I have a friend that, well, this is my story, right? He's got a girl that in his life, when they talk, she takes over the conversation.
Yeah.
Me, he takes over the conversation. So he's kind of my girl. And he says, not literally, by the way, but he says a lot of things and expects me to remember a lot of things. And I just don't. And I'm like, this is like a new day. I've slept since then. I'm going to need you to tell me again.
Do you know the thing about the brain lobe? Can you explain that the way Dr. Pat does? Because I try to tell him, but women still think that men are built like women. There's two different brain lobes, two different scientific differences.
Let me bring it up because I have some comments on this one page I like to read out. There it is.
Do, because it is a big scientific difference. And also about how men, when they get older, they go more feminine. That seems to be a big one. These women pick these men that are 65 and they want them to be masculine leaders. They just don't have that capacity anymore.
Okay, let me read this page here. This is page 3 in the handout. The title is called Brain Differences.
Okay.
It says top one is right-handed men. Right-handed men are or-brained. They're either left-handed, they're either in their left side or they're in their right side. Now, the yin side, the right side, there are these things. Their feelings, interested in body, sensual and sexual. It's not a pain that wants no pain. It also doesn't want to talk, but it does want to be cherished. It's limbic, meaning it's 200 to 400 million years old. It responds to tones, gestures, and postures, and facial expressions. It likes to intimidate with fear and seduce with guilt. It consists of yin energy and takes 5,000 calories to run the engine. On the other hand is the left side. It's the yang side. It's concerned with thinking, with the mind, money, that pain is okay. It likes to talk. It wants respect. It's a limbic brain, meaning it's 45 to 65,000 years old. It responds to words, signs, symbols, and language. It also likes to negotiate with love. It is a yang energy system and requires about 1,500 calories to run. So when you look at, if you have a right and left brain, you're looking at somebody, right? If my right brain responds to your right brain, we're talking about feelings.
Okay.
If my left brain responds to your left brain, we're talking about thinking. We're in our yang body.
Yeah.
If you want to talk complementary, it's I think, what do you feel? I'm talking my left lobe to your right lobe. I want to know how you feel. I'm starting to cherish you. So yang says, I think, how do you feel? Yin says, I got this wrong. Oh. I feel what you think. And then complementary communication enhances intimacy, which is what we just talked about.
Uh-huh.
The left lobe to the right lobe.
Uh-huh.
And then, so I used this manual when I was learning this stuff. And there's a lot of really good stuff. And people, myself included, have a be perfect mentality. If I look in the mirror, I'm clearly not perfect.
Uh-huh.
And there's a page for that. It's on page 5.
What?
Personal guide for living and loving.
Okay.
Total spontaneity produces chaos. Self-discipline allows spontaneity. And then it has a little note here. It says, you can intend for tomorrow and only plan for today. But what does that mean? It means if you are learning this stuff and you're not writing things down and expecting to remember things, it's not going to work. You think you're going to spontaneously remember things that you've learned in the heat of the moment, it doesn't work. It rarely does. Maybe 1 out of 100 times. So when I was learning this stuff, I took my notebook and
yes.
I felt really, really weird, but I'm okay. You know, I'm thumbing through, wanted to get to the topic I want to talk to, and talk to this one person and say, hey, you know, I want to talk about this. And I've already rehearsed the things that they might say and the things that I can say back that will not get me in emotional trouble.
Okay.
So, but what does that mean? What's emotional trouble mean? And do you mind if I just
When you say emotional trouble, are you talking about when they talk to somebody?
Yeah.
Okay. Or,
like I refer, when I was thinking about that, what does that mean? And to me, I looked at the time structuring thing.
Yes.
And this is how people communicate, right? We withdraw. We have rituals. Hi, how are you? Fine, thanks.
Uh-huh.
We have past times. We have some activities to avoid work. We have games.
Yes.
We have communication. And this is from the bottom up, folks. And then finally, we have intimacy. And intimacy is true connection. It's not intercourse. It's not sex. It's true human connection. And Eric Byrne liked to say that if you got 15 minutes of true intimacy in your entire lifetime, you were a lucky human being.
And what would you say true intimacy is, where you can really trust the person and be yourself? What's true intimacy?
The thing I have written down is it is a direct and powerful exchange of strokes that are game-free and unconditionally accepting. People crave this sort of strokes, but seldom attain because their child is frightened away from past hurtful experiences. Eric Byrne, pastimes and games are substitutes for the real living and real intimacy.
Yeah.
And that is 10% of communication. All those rest is communication, games, activities, pastimes, rituals, and withdrawal are all 90% of communication.
Yeah, I chat GPT it. It says emotional intimacy is being able to share your inner world, feelings, fears, needs without fear of shame or rejection.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we do feel we put a mask on to protect ourselves because of what we may have learned when we were younger. If we expose ourselves, we're going to be teased or humiliated or Yeah, we've got those trauma wounds. So I can see true intimacy is hard to get. You can communicate, hopefully rationally, but to really, you know, everybody always says, I don't trust him. You know, my gut feeling, let me ask you something. A lot of my women, they use that. In my gut, I feel he's cheating. And I'm thinking, well, do you have any proof? No, I just think he is. My gut tells me he is. So sometimes I think that gut feeling can be a safety mechanism or, you know, self-sabotaging too, to keep them safe and push a guy away. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I read a quote by I heard an interview. Yeah. By Dr. Gabor Mate.
Yeah.
He liked to say that they were traumatized.
Yes.
And Gabor Mate's response was, you weren't traumatized. You just had a difficult experience.
Okay.
So I think people mistake their gut, quote unquote, with what is comfortable of how they've been living their life.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm thinking, I don't, you know, I'm like, well, what are your signs that he's doing it? Well, something like he didn't call or something. It was something stupid. And I'm going, and this was the first time? Are we not giving free passes? You know, one mistake and cut him off, you're gone?
And it, cancel culture. Like, people are not giving people grace.
Well, yeah. Remember the three, you know, you have to, when a child does something wrong, you have to warn them, and then they have to know what the consequences are the next time. I mean, he can't do something and then be punished right away when he doesn't know it was supposed to be something he didn't do, was supposed to not do.
Exactly. Even the law says we can't punish you if there's no law in the books for it.
Yeah. Three strikes, you know, he does the behavior, then you tell him, please don't do that. It hurts my feelings or this and that. He does it again, and then you give him a warning. If you do that again, this is the consequences. What the consequence is, if he does it again, and then the third time you did it again, so you know the consequences, you know, and so that's the, you know, and I'm done. So you do have to warn people rather than cut them off without some kind of verification on what you liked or not liked or his behavior.
Well, yes and no. You don't have to.
It's advisable, or you're just going to keep repeating the pattern of cutting people off before they get a chance to prove that they are fallible, flawed human beings.
Yeah, I always like to use my qualifier. You have to if you want a relationship, if you want a good relationship.
Yes, that's
true. You
don't
have to otherwise.
Yeah.
If you want people to mind read and get frustrated, by all means, don't do it. So one of the things, like what I've started doing, and people, you know, from my perspective, roll their eyes and go, okay, yeah, whatever. But sometimes I go, I want to talk about rules of engagement. Like, how are we going to handle this? How are we going to handle the problems? And like when I was a kid, me and my buddy, my best friend, went to the beach for a week. And we'd never spent that much time together before. We weren't sure we could handle it. But we agreed in the beginning. So look, we're, you know, if we get mad at each other, just walk away, but come back. And that was like the only thing that we agreed upon that worked. But we never needed to do that. We knew we had an out. We knew what the rules were. And like, why do I have to walk away when I'm just going to come back anyways and just talk to him anyways? So let's just talk now. Yeah. But it gave me escape.
Yeah.
So, and if people abide by it, it tends to work pretty well.
Yeah. So tell me, with Dr. Pat's tools and stuff, has it worked for you in relationships, or do you use it more in work situations?
I use it in every relationship I have.
Do you use it with your parents or your family members? Do they take it kindly, or are they like, what are you talking about?
No, I don't have any issues with anybody other than people that were going to have issues with me no matter what I did. But that's very few and far between. And I've been very fortunate. I've had a lot of successful work relationships, friendships, had some good intimate relationships. Because I like to talk. I like to communicate.
That's true.
I like the rules of engagement. I like the, hey, if you have a problem, you know, what do you normally do? You know, what can we do differently? But there's a caveat to that. The other person has to be open to that. If they're controlling and closed off, then that doesn't work. But if they're like that, nothing's going to work.
Yes.
So you either accept them as they are or reject them as they are.
Or there's a third one.
Tolerate.
There's a lot of women I work with that tolerate. And you can tell when they're in the group that they're tolerating because their elevation and their, you know, you can see them getting mad or mad. They start talking, you know, about what he's doing, blah, blah, blah. And I have to reel them in. Yeah. That's a hard one. Yeah.
Yeah. I think acceptance is even harder for some people until you know what it looks like.
Yes, acceptance is. Let me just share the callback number, 323-203-0815. We had some great calls last week. I guess it's hit or miss on the show. Everybody must be busy getting ready for the rain here in California.
Yeah. I'm excited for it. We're expecting dark floods.
It's supposed to start tonight and last till, I mean, LA, I think, is going to get hit the hardest. But then when it, you know, if it goes down the mountains and stuff, then it starts flooding. And we've been so dry, so I don't know if it'll soak in too fast either.
Yeah. I live out in like Ridgecrest area, and we get roads washed out. And I remember walking from my front door to my office to my car, and it was hail, and I was drenched. It was just 3 inches of water on the street. Like, it only started like 20 minutes ago, but dang, came down fast.
Yeah. So have you been out there when it is flooding? What do they usually do? Because sometimes you can't drive and it even goes up to your houses and stuff.
The cops will usually close the road, or someone will get into an accident before they realize that road needs to be closed.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of nothing out here. So it's a really lot.
We will see. It should be interesting. Yeah.
Should we remind people about yin and yang and energy, action, and intention?
Well, tell them what some people don't even know what yin and yang is. Yang is the masculine and yin is the feminine. Dr. Pat always would make comments like, keep your yang mouth shut. That was one of her famous quotes. I say that to my women too when they say, well, you know, I just had to tell him, blah, 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 blah. I know I blew it. And I said, yep, keep your yang mouth shut. And everybody laughs. Yeah.
What else would you like to say? That
what?
Women have yin bodies but yang souls.
Yeah.
The kind of earth is as strong as the inside of a woman. And men have yang bodies but yin souls. No woman on earth is as sensitive as the inside of a man. I don't know why. Do you know why the history of all of the yin and yang symbol, why the white is yang and the black is yin?
You know what? That's a good question. Let me ask ChatGPT. What is it? Why? What? Yeah, see.
In the yin and yang symbol, why is the yang white and the yin black?
Okay.
Now, while you're doing that, I'm going to talk about energy real quick.
Please do.
So there's in this yin and yang system, there are three things that Dr. Bat talks about.
Yes.
Energy, action, and intention. And I'm going to go through each of the masculine side and each of the feminine side. So for energy, it's to compete, conquer, and control. I know some women there like to control. They're being masculine. It's in this document right here. The action, though, is to give, protect, and cherish. So you are welcome to be controlling yang, but are you going to give? Are you going to protect? And can you cherish? If the answer is no, then I might suggest you reevaluate. The intention is maleness, just being a male. It's mentally well and intentions, money, and sex. That's what we look for. So yeah. On the inside, go ahead.
No, I just said, yeah, I was just agreeing with you. Yeah.
For energy, the yin is passive, patient, and vulnerable. You, if you're being in your real feminine, you are better at all these things than any man I've ever met. The action is to receive, be available to receive, and respectful. An intention is femaleness, your body. You're physically well, and you're interested in relationships as opposed to money and sex. What'd you find, Sue?
Okay, here's what I got. This is very interesting. The yin-yang symbol is black and white to show how opposite forces both contrast and complement each other. The colors aren't about good versus bad. They're about balance. Here's what the black and white represents. Yin is the black, and it represents passive, receptive, intuitive, coolness, darkness, stillness, feminine energy, the moon, night, and restoration. Yang, the white energy, active, outward, expressive, warmth, light, movement, masculine energy, the day, the sun, the day, creation. And why black and white specifically? Because the contrast is absolute. Black and white make opposites very clear, so it's easy to see. You can have light without dark. You can know rest without activity. Each contains a seed of the other, the small dots in the middle. Balance is created by the contrast, constant flow between the two. And it says the dots matter. Remember, it has the little dots in the middle of it, contrasting? Okay, the white dot inside the black side and vice versa means nothing is purely one thing. Every force contains the beginning of its opposite. It's a visual philosophy. The color choice makes the idea simple. Duality, balance, interdependence, harmony. Is that what you thought it would be?
That's more than I thought it would be.
Okay, and then it tells me it can, here's how yin and yang apply to relationships, communication, and personality. We've got about 5 minutes. Yin and yang in relationships. Every relationship has a dance between two types of energy. Yin energy, that's the female, that's the black. Calm, receptive, intuitive, listening, observing, softness, empathy, allowing things to come towards you. Yang energy was the white. It's direction, action-oriented, expressive, assertive, leading, initiating, making things happen. In a healthy relationship, partners don't need to be 50-50 all the time, but the relationship as a whole needs both energies. And how this shows up in real life. Communication, yin. Tell me what's going on. I'm listening. Slow down. Understanding first. Okay. So yang, here's what I feel. I'm not understanding this part here, so I'm going to skip it. Conflict. Too much yin, avoiding people pleasing, letting issues pile up. Too much yang, and you're arguing, controlling, and overpowering. So the balance is receive the other person, yin, state your boundaries clearly, yang. So that makes sense. It uses a lot of Dr. Pat's. It's still basically the yang. What is the yang? Is the assertive, the masculine, the controlling. It's got all of the masculine stuff. Expression, assertive, leading, initiating, direction, action-oriented.
Now, some of that stuff is probably good to be an indicator for your students on if they're upset for this, look at your balance.
Yeah, I think I'm going to copy that off. I copy off a lot of stuff and I send them. So because, you know, I can talk about stuff, but like you said, you have to visually see it sometimes and reread it a couple times.
And I love source material too. So yeah. You can send me too.
Okay, I'll send it to you. But well, it's about 4:46. Darn it, we had no callers today. Maybe next week. I know it's getting closer to the holidays. People have things to do, but we will be back next week and hopefully we'll get some callers or email me some questions and we'll answer them on the show. So, Andy, do you want to say anything to the audience before we leave?
Be well, audience. Take care. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you next week. And if you want that 15-minute complimentary session, or if you have any questions, please feel free to email me at info@drpatallen.com or 949-723-0338. Thank you, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.